Potato Act is sick.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop us out and you can't make us run, cause we're them old boys raised on shotguns. From North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why? everybody. You're listening to the Mad Science Show on www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you not only get to talk to the Shaziz Radio chat room, but the Awake Radio chat room as well. I'm going to start off on a not-so-happy note and pay my respects to a good friend from Awake Radio. Most of y'all known him as Granada Steve. I've known him as Steve. He's just a good friend of mine from way back. We did a lot of radio networking together and went through a lot of trials and tribulations out here in cyberspace. I want to read to you a message that I pretty much got there too late, but hopefully that wherever my friend is, he'll hear this message and know my heart. I posted this in the Awake Radio chat room. I said, "Steve, my friend, I do not know if I am too late for you to hear these words. I thank you for all the joy you brought into my life and the ups and downs we shared together fighting for justice and truth in the world. You have been an amazing friend to me for so many years. I had hopes that one day we could meet in person and share some laughs together. Together we have traveled many miles and fought many battles against it all out here in cyberspace. I promise you, my friend, I will keep the dream alive as long as I am able. And I am sorry for the time I missed talking with you while fighting my own battles at home. Out of all this, I just want you to know your friendship meant the world to me, and all the time you looked out for me and gave me words of wisdom when I was down. You've been a great friend to me. And that's something I never will forget. Peace and love to you, my brother, dear friend. May God bless you and your family. It has been my honor to call you my friend, and I am humbled that you felt the same. Love, Shaziz." With that said, I'm going to play a tune just to catch my breath, and then we'll get started with the Mad Science Show. There's a lot of good people out here, folks, trying to do the right thing, trying to pass some really decent words on to people and trying to get some good information out there. A lot of things and a lot of friendships and things that you don't see or hear on the radio. They're just behind the scenes things that go on. What we're doing is really important. I'm going to play this song for my friend. I hope he can hear it, and I hope he likes it.
friend to you. Complicated circumstances have clouded his view. Lord, I lift my friend up to you. I fear that I won't have the words that he needs to hear. I pray for your wisdom, O God, and a heart that's sincere. And Lord, I lift my friend up to you. Lord, I lift my friend to you. My best friend in the world, I know he means much more to you. I want so much to help him, but this is something he has to do. And Lord, I lift my friend up to you. 'Cause there's a way that seems so right to him, but you know where that leads. He's becoming a puppet of the world, too blind to see the strings. Lord, I lift my friend up to you. My friend up to you. Friend to you, I've done all that I know to do. I lift my friend to you.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, I'm not always the best for words. Sometimes I don't have to maybe even choose the right songs to play or whatever, but it's all in the heart. That's best I can do with what I got to work with. And I know my friend Steve knew my heart, just like I knew his, and he'll be dearly missed. So with that said, I'm going to keep the dream alive and put some mad science out there and hopefully benefit some people out there. So anyway, now that I got my second wind, let's get into some mad science, folks. If you go over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat html, you'll get the opportunity to be in the Wake Radio chat room and the Shaziz Radio chat room at the same time. I posted a couple videos over there. One is my latest video called Low RPMs, High Voltage. And in this video I show where you can take a old washing machine motor and you can spin it up at some low RPMs and run that energy of one of the phases of that motor off of into a doggone ballast that you use for fluorescent lighting. And you see, it gets pretty good results just by spinning it up by hand. And then whenever you spin it up with a 18-volt cordless drill, you see it gets a lot better results. So since I'm into plasma technology and I need to be able to energize any of the noble gases into the plasma state to take the energy away in the form of heat and light, and basically make these generators run more efficient, then this is a pretty significant find as far as being able to use these old ballasts that the old style ballast had a lot of transformers in them. The modern ballasts are more of a solid state, where they have transistors and resistors and stuff like that in there that basically step up the voltage. And so with that said, if you get an opportunity to go over and take a look at that video and share it with your friends and stuff who's in alternative energy, it's really significant to the work I'm researching with. Next two videos down is another video that pretty much, you just have to watch it from start to finish. It's a two-part video, and the guy's basically showing what, I kind of hesitate to say over unity, but yeah, I know that it's possible where you're actually getting out more than you're putting in, but essentially all we're doing is moving energy from point A to point B. It's a really good video. Check it out if you get an opportunity to. And last but not least, Tin Man over there at, I can't even remember what he calls his lab. He did a video about, no, I already jumped the gun and said that one should have been the first one right after my video. There's four videos posted there. But the first one was Tin Man using one of these, Radio Shack electronics labs, and he's showing where he's picking up energy from an AM radio station that's actually charging up a capacitor and basically a self-oscillating circuit. And all these little anomalies that I keep talking about is basically what's going on in the next set of videos, where the guy's showing the generator and how it functions, and different configurations of where you're putting your batteries and capacitors and stuff like that. So, what I've been trying to point out for a long time in the alternative energy community isn't that, one of these anomalies by themselves isn't going to run your entire house. But if you take everything in conjunction with another, all these different anomalies, like Lenz's law, if you know that Lenz's law is going to be something that's going to be counterproductive to what you're trying to do. And for those of you that's just joining in, not familiar with Lenz's law, basically when you induce a magnetic field, a current through a coil of wire, you get a magnetic field. Well, instantaneously, nature tries to balance itself back out, and it will create a second magnetic field to oppose the first, and eventually it will come to a screeching halt depending on how much energy you actually put into that coil. So, therefore, the generators that we're running today are inefficient, because what they're doing is they are allowing Lenz's law to take effect by using a closed loop circuit, which is another thing about those last two videos, Denner. He's talking about having a closed loop circuit in order to be able to use the energy more efficiently and being able to get work done as the system is functioning. While it's doing one thing, it's doing another, pretty much is the easiest part way to explain it. But if the generator is under load, let's say you got you a generator head and you're pushing out some voltage out the other side, and the moment you turn that light on, it closes the loop in the circuit and allows electrons to flow back into the same coil system that you're actually trying to draw your energy from. Well, that's where Lenz's law kicks in. And once that kicks in, then you have basically put your foot on the brakes and start slowing this thing down. The more load you put on, the more electron flow can occur, and it will actually begin to, at some point, bring it to a complete stop, because it's acting as a brake. And so the trick is to move the energy away from the generator head without invoking Lenz's law. One of the other drawbacks of invoking Lenz's law is when you get eddy currents involved in there, and essentially eddy currents creates a lot of friction, which creates a lot of heat, and then in turn, at some point, with too much of a load on that generator head, will actually melt through the insulation of the copper magnet wire, and basically short it out. Instead of 1,000 turns, you're down to 1 turn, and you pretty much have a dead short, and the motor is no longer good, or the generator is no longer good. So, in order to take all these pieces of the puzzle and only invoke the physics laws that you want to use that are beneficial for you, then you need to be able to take that energy and move it away from the generator head, change it into a completely different form of energy. See, according to the laws of conservation energy, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It's there. You're just you're not using it efficiently. And so by that definition right there, you can change the energy. You can change it multiple times. And then you can also change it back into other forms of energy, which you can use to actually power things. So my plasma research essentially is not only just a tuner, but it's also a heating system by which you use the plasma, which at the center of the plasma gets really hot. I showed this in that video, low RPMs, high voltage, where it actually, the fluorescent bulb, you see it bright, getting really bright. It actually reached the plasma state inside that that tube. And so with that said, once the thing was shut down, you could actually feel the tube was hot. It still had heat left from it. So basically, the high voltage can produce a high amount of heat. They have plasma cutters that can literally cut through steel and other metals. And it's using high voltage, high frequency, and basically energizing the atmosphere around the general vicinity into the plasma state. And so it produces a massive amount of heat, which in turn, they use to cut the material. The plasma not only has qualities of visible light, it's when it's energized high enough, you can get just about every light spectrum going on, all the way up to bright white light. And so you got light, you got heat, and you also have a transfer of energy via radiant energy that can be tapped into as well. So you're not going to lose any energy in this process. You actually take every bit of energy off the generator head that the generator head is actually capable of, and you're funneling it into the proper direction and moving it away from that generator, whereas to not invoke Lenz's law to slow down that generator head. Now the good thing about this whole deal is that if you can move this energy away, you can use it for heating purposes, lighting purposes, and storing electricity. And you can have your generator, whatever your prime mover is on your generator, not have to work near as hard. And so at the very least, you end up with a super efficient heating system, which you can, if you can visualize this, if you have a plasma reactor, and inside this reactor you have some tubing, whether it be copper tubing or stainless steel tubing, it doesn't really matter to the extent unless you're going to be trying to drink water through this thing or something, you don't want copper oxides, running in your water. That's not a good thing. But if you're just using it for heating purposes and you're circulating this water through, copper would be fine, but you're going to be using it for whatever, taking a shower or something like that, you might be better off served to try to build this out of stainless tubing instead. Anyway, as the water is being circulated through the coiling system inside the container where the plasma is at, then the noble gases never are mixed with the water itself. All you're doing is transferring the heat from the plasma into the tubing and then circulating your water through the tubing to take away that heat on the other side. Pretty much the same way the heat is transferred from your engine of your automobile into your radiator and dispersed out into the air. A lot of wasted energy in the internal combustion engine. So now you've essentially created a really super efficient heating system, a lighting system, and you have radiant energy as well that could be tapped into. You can take that energy away using all kinds of different methods, thermoelectrics. You can use Peltier elements, which work off of a temperature difference, where on one side, if you heat one side and it's cool on the other side, it would actually produce a voltage. Ryan Abrams from Abrams Lab did a really interesting video where he had a Peltier element and he was running a small electric motor just by having this on his wrist like a watch. I'll have to jump over there to my YouTube and see if I can find that video in the history, which I'm going to go ahead and try to do this now. But it's just a small example. If your body is able to produce enough heat and the temperature difference is enough to actually produce a voltage that can run an electric motor on a small scale, you can imagine what you could do on a large scale. And so if we're going to be working with heat because of the plasma state that we're generating, then we can use that technology like Ryan shows in his video for transferring that heat back into electrical energy. And also, we could take if we bring the plasma state up high enough to where it's hot enough, we can literally flash water into steam and use that to turn turbines. So, knowing that steam expands, water expands multitudes times its normal volume whenever it's heated into steam. Steam basically is a gas, and it expands whenever you boil water and it flashes into steam. See, I found this video of Brian Abrams. It's called Biomechanical Thermoelectric Generator. Ryan does some really good work. It's amazing some of the things that him and some of the other researchers out there come up with. And all of these are just little the anomalies, the pieces of the puzzle that I keep talking about. And so if you take all these pieces of the puzzle and you run them in conjunction with one another, you can actually build a generating system that is self-contained, that will literally basically charge itself up. Now they say that that's not possible, but we've seen time and time again all these little circuits, or how efficient they are. And if you take any, let's say the self-oscillating circuit the Tin Man showed, using the little antenna and the circuit on that board that he was working with. Now it's picking up AM radio waves. Granted, that's not necessarily in the realm of free energy, with the exception you're not paying for it. Somebody else is paying for the electricity to run their AM radio station. However, it's one of the energies available out there, one of the frequency ranges available. And so if you got that circuit and then you throw in a solar power circuit, now you just doubled up the potential that this thing can actually accomplish. And from that point on, if you don't throw all your eggs in one basket, now you're picking up radio waves, you're picking up solar power, and you can throw some wind power in there as well. So now you're generating three ways into the same system. And if you use the things that we've learned about, like galvanic action and chemistry batteries and hydroelectrics and thermoelectrics, and you take all these things together, you feed all of them, funnel them all into one power source, one storage bank, and now you've got a self-contained system. So what I just explained to you, none of which defies any of the known laws of physics, you know, and it essentially is free energy because you're using everything that nature does naturally to not disrupt nature, but to work in harmony with nature. As the wind is blowing, you're picking up this energy and you're you know, you're storing it and you're using it, and you know, it's like the windmill, you know, whenever that wind is blowing, it blows through and gets work done, it turns the windmill, and then you know, you didn't take away any wind, you didn't add to any wind, all you did was use it as it was coming by to get some work done that you wanted done. The same thing with hydroelectrics, you know, you got a waterfall going down through some turbines that are turning generator heads. As long as that water's flowing, you will always have electricity. As long as the wind is blowing or the sun's out, you always have electricity. But if one or the other stops, you got the other one for a backup. You can have wind power when it's dark outside, when the sun ain't out. You can have hydroelectrics when the water's flowing. If you think about all the things that happen around your house, you know, when nature's doing what nature does, when it's raining, there's water going down through the gutters. So why not tap into some of that energy? The falling water building up a static charge, or the falling water going through many turbines that are actually producing electricity that's charging a battery bank. And even if it's only a penny in the bucket to start, you know, those pennies add up. And you get your storage bank coming up. At the very least, when you do this, you'll supplement your electrical uses in your house to where your bill becomes less and less the more you're capable of storing. So I always tell everybody, instead of trying to take your entire house off the power grid, just start supplementing your electric bill by taking one light a month off of the power grid. You know, get you some little solar panels and some battery backups, and instead of using that light that you normally would, use a different light that you would use that it's all free electricity. You already own the equipment, and then with the money that you save from that, then the next month do it to another room, another light bulb, until eventually your entire house is off the power grid, or at the very least 50 to 60% of all your energy usage is being compensated for, so you don't have to worry about the other portion that you're paying on your electric bill. You can maintain now and actually have a few extra dollars to spend in your pocket. So that's what I've been trying to point out. You know, I show people things all the time, and I talk about high voltage, and I tell them things like I don't care about current watts and amps and all that kind of stuff, because at the point when I'm talking about this is that I'm not trying to run my house with no current watts and amps. Alright, all I am trying to do is gather up some energy, move it from point A to point B as rapidly as I can, and get some work done in the process. When I store that energy and then I start to pull from that energy, then the current watts and amps and all the mathematics apply. But to that point, it doesn't matter, because I'm not looking for that that energy, and I'm not using the energy in the same sense that you would be whenever you run it normally off the grid. So I take this energy and I move it from point A to point B, I store it, and then I start to draw from it, running battery banks or capacitor banks or a combination therein, and then inverters off the other side, and then now the math applies. This is where I get myself in trouble, because I keep trying to tell everybody you don't need current watts and amps to do what it is that I'm saying. You need the high pressure, the high frequency of high voltage to move this rapidly. It's essentially the same thing as putting your thumb over the garden hose and being able to put the water clear across your yard as opposed to just a few feet away from you. So all of what I've said hasn't defied any of the known laws of physics. Now, because we are energy hogs and we drain a lot of energy off the grid, and we waste a lot of energy with the way that the transformers are used, then all these markets have opened up out there, such as the CFL, the energy saver light bulbs that you see all the time. LED technology, light emitting diode technology, where they don't take all the high current to run, and you still get a lot of light and lumens. So, becoming energy efficient is the first step towards energy dependence, independence. As far as the whole fossil fuels and stuff like that, you know, it's a big misnomer. Somebody sent me something here. Okay, I'm gonna have to get that a different way. All right, so I'm gonna take a quick music break because I got a request for a song for Steve from Stephen Gibbons. So I'm gonna have to download it a different way. I'll just throw on a couple random tunes here and see if I can find that. So stay tuned, everybody. Listen to Mad Science.
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shazoo's Mad Science. I got a song request as a tribute for Steve, a song by Mario Lanza, Danny Boy. And so, you know, I want to play a bunch of songs from a friend, and I think maybe we should probably try to do a show on the Knights of the Round Table and maybe get some of the other hosts there to share the time with us. So with that said, this goes out to Steve from Stephen Gibbons. Everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love.
Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny Boy, oh, Danny Boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead, as dead I well may be, ye'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear, though soft, you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. For you bend and tell me that you love me, and I shall sleep in peace until you come to me.
Constant sorrow all through his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised.
I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in some deep valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Mad Science on www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com. And let us know what you think. Anyway, while I was listening to that other song, I got to thinking about one of the times that I was having a bum time about it, and how, you know, sometimes whenever you fall, you got to get up and brush yourself off and get going again. Well, I don't remember exactly where I heard the song first, but I remember Steve had played it at one point, and it really pretty much spoke volumes about, you know, when you're getting knocked down, you're getting back up again, and I just kind of fell in love with this song, and he's shipped it over to me, and so I'm going to go ahead and play that as a tribute to my friend as well, because, you know, while I'm saddened that my friend is gone, I did give him my promise that I would keep the dream alive as long as possible. So even with all this stuff going on, I gotta get up and I gotta dust myself off again and keep rolling. So I'm gonna play this song for you guys right here, and then we'll be back to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned. Peace and love.
Okay, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. these radio networks that we've all been working on for quite some time, there's many, many radio networks out there. If you don't like what you're hearing on, like Shaziz Radio, for example, you can always jump over there to the Shows and Hosts tab, where when you go down in that, you'll see there's a button that says Other Radio Stations, where you can go over and see what they're talking about as well. One of the things about all this is that, you know, we're trying to get the word out to as many people as possible and trying to share good information that would be beneficial to the world, because I still believe in the dream. I believe that we the people, if we use all this resource that we have available to us, we can make the world a better place. And so with that said, it doesn't matter whether you get information from here or there or whatever, but you know, if you like what we're doing at ShazizRadio.com, help us fill up the chat rooms out there. A lot of the hosts out there, you know, they kind of like look in the chat room every now and then, and they, you know, sometimes get discouraged because there's not a lot of interaction between there, even though there's a whole lot more people behind the scenes listening in on mobile devices. It's always nice to have people in there talking in the chat rooms, and, you know, that's the best way to support Awake Radio or Shaziz Radio or, you know, any of the other networks out there, Freedom Radio, People to People, and you know, Tinosaur, all the different radio networks out there. Just, if you got an opportunity to go over and visit their sites and jump in there in the chat rooms, just go in there and say hi and give them some positive input, some messages, and tell them that, you know, you heard it here on ShazizRadio.com. I'd like to get a special event together and actually have all these networks doing a simulcast broadcast, where we all go out with pretty much the same message, all the network owners together, to you know, do at least once a month or once a year or something like that, where we all get together and basically try to bring all these networks in one table, one round table, and address situations out there in the world that need to be addressed, and new advancements and new ideas and research and all that kind of stuff, to kind of help each other out, to spread the word. You know, if you got social media that you deal with, like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or anything like that, and want to help us move this along, we're not asking for any donations or anything like that. We're just asking that you spread the word and tell them that there's people out there working on certain things. If they got a certain subject they're looking into, point them to the right network. You know, when people come to the Shaziz Radio chat room and post links, you know, it's beneficial for everybody, because of the research that we're talking about. You know, is there's more research out there that people have shared with everybody. So I feel like we got every single answer that we need to solve all the problems of the world, and I believe that we can do this together by keeping these networks alive. My friend Steve, he sacrificed a lot of his personal time to run Awake Radio and try to keep everybody together and try to keep everybody happy and all that kind of stuff. You know, and it's not always easy to keep people happy. There are a lot of things happen behind the scenes. You know, people are just people, and you know, sometimes things don't go so well. But when it's all said and done, the key is that we keep the dream alive, and we actually try to get these positive messages out to the world. You know, we don't always have to agree on things, but we can agree to disagree in a respectful manner and move on to the solutions to getting them done. One of the things that actually got me into doing alternative media, so to speak, or, you know, internet radio, was the fact that from TNS Radio, the Seeking Solutions portion of it, you know, doggone, my memory ain't serving me right at the moment, but Ben, he... you saw a YouTube video where I was kind of ranting, and he was pretty impressed with it. He calls me up and asked me if I'd be interested in doing a radio show. At first, I declined, because I didn't think that, you know, I was kind of cut out for radio. But then, after a while, I got thinking about it. I said, well, you know, it is about getting ideas out there and solutions. And I like what the phrase seeking solutions all about. We got solutions to all the problems out the world. We can feed the hungry. We can shelter the homeless. We can clothe people. We can give everybody the luxuries and the comfort that we all, a lot of us enjoy, that we take for granted. You know, free electricity, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's out there. It's already been proven, you know, proven science. Solar power, wind power, hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, and it just goes on and on. We are literally floating in a sea of energy, and if we use that energy efficiently enough, we can not only work in harmony with nature, but we can get things done. We can get things accomplished that would actually bring about some really true change in the world. While you've got governments out there fighting over resources such as oil and who's going to be in charge, or natural gas and who's going to be in charge, they're missing the point. They're missing the big picture. There's folks out there that are literally suffering because of the stupidity, the lack of common sense that goes on. If we tapped into all the different resources that nature has provided, there's natural gas all over this world. There is oil. There is wind. There's solar, you know. And if you don't like the one, then we can use the other, you know. It doesn't matter. There's thermal vents all over this planet that could be tapped into without affecting nature, you know. We're just basically catching the wind as it blows by, or using this steam from a thermal vent to turn a generator turbine, and in the process not polluting anything. And even with the coal industry, you know, if you're going to burn coal, there's ways to recapture the exhaust off of that and reuse that exhaust. If you're going to be burning firewood, you could burn firewood so efficiently that you don't even have smoke coming out of the chimney. It's just, you know, the heat. So, you know, with that said, you know, even in the heating and cooling, air conditioning portion of it, dehumidifiers, desalination plants, there are so many ways to capture the resources around you in a perfectly natural and harmless to the environment manner that we could all benefit from. There's no reason for anybody to starve on this planet. There's no reason for anybody to do without the luxuries of life that we've come accustomed to. Here we are in the year 2016, and we should have all this already in order by now. But between the greed and the corruption... Hey, it looks like I got Thomas. How you doing there, brother? We're live.
Oh, just waking up.
Oh, well, that's good. Get the sleep out of your eye, and I'll finish my
monologue.
My monologue rant. So anyway, yeah, like I was saying, we got all these different technologies available to us. We should be able to have everything resolved. It's as simple as the mechanics of it all, but it's complicated in the sense that you can't get everybody to agree on how to go about this. But in reality, those who would complain that we have to take care of nature, or that the world is in danger of global warming, or, you know, we've seen real life examples of the fish dying off for some strange reason, or birds falling from the sky. The difference, you know, we can't abuse nature and expect to live comfortably. You know, there has to come a point whenever we have to realize that this has gone too far. We got to fix it. So with all these clean and renewable energy technologies that have been available since day one, we should already have this resolved. But it's going to take a cooperation throughout the globe in order for people to start enacting these. Stop fighting over oil. You don't need it. You know, stop fighting over natural gas. You don't need it. You know, we use natural gas and oil for all kinds of products. There's all kinds of things made from all types of resources. None of these resources, none of these chemistries that we put together, or anything that nature hasn't had the capability of taking care of if used responsibly. But if you're actually dumping crud into the water and you're polluting the home of the fish, well, then you got to expect that the fish aren't going to fare so well. So as the folks are out there asking and complaining about how we got to look into clean, renewable, alternative energy, I would say to those individuals, instead of protesting out there in the world, come and help these individuals who's trying to spread information and show, you know, research that's been done and ways that we can do this. And let's get together and let's build these things. It's, you know, the world's not going to clean itself up. Somebody has to pick up a broom and somebody has to pick up a dustpan and so on and so forth. And we got to start fixing this thing. You know, the earth is strong. You know, the earth will be here long after we're gone. But the whole key was for humanity to survive. You know, and there's people in the world that are in need. We have the capabilities. We have the technology to do it. We got to get our leadership, our representatives of the world on board with actually doing something right. Instead of having everybody out there fighting over who's going to control what, you know, they're sending your men, women, and children off to foreign nations to fight, you know, for what? To fatten their wallet. And it's not necessary. We have all the resources necessary to do everything that we need to do. We can have an efficient power grid. We don't have to waste energy. We got technicians that can redesign everything under the sun if need be. They say don't try to reinvent the wheel, but yet sometimes maybe you can make that wheel just a hair bit more efficient by putting something like ceramic bearings or some super lubricant to keep that bearing to last long so you don't have to keep making them. There's all kinds of possibilities. There's potentials in every mind out there. And what I'm trying to do here with ShazizRadio.com is to try to gather these minds and bring them to the table. I don't have every answer that there is to have. I'm just one man. I just got a piece of the puzzle. I'm sitting here waving my piece of the puzzle out there and saying, hey, 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 put this with yours, you know. I can't do it all by myself and nobody can. So with that said, we need to gather these brilliant minds. We need to gather the craftsmen of the world and the mechanics and the electricians, and we need to put our minds together, and we need to come to a resolution to actually put these solutions in action. We've got wind that's going to blow no matter what happens. We've got sun that's going to shine no matter what happens. We've got mechanical movement in the earth. We've got vents, steam vents, thermal vents of all different sizes and shapes. We got pools of hot water laying everywhere. And all we need to do is learn how to tap into that responsibly and pull some of that energy off that we can use to keep ourselves cool. If you're living in a hot climate and you can use that heat to actually cool you down, you know, with a heat exchange system. We got these technologies. They've been available for a long time. But getting them out there on the market, that's going to be the trick. Getting the corporations and the representatives of the world to hear the cries of the people of the world and actually do it right instead of the way that they have been doing. Doesn't make no sense to shout out save the planet while you're out there blowing up somebody's home and taking away their parents. You know, if we're going to bring peace, hope, and love to the world, we're going to have to do it in a respectful manner to where we can get along with one another and use common sense. And common sense tells me if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because whoever or whatever created this planet created a masterpiece, a totally self-contained biosphere, an electrothermal magnetic generator of epic proportions that could provide all the power needs for the entire world. We have the methods by which we can actually cure the sick, house the homeless, feed the hungry, and it just doesn't stop. But you have to come to some sort of understanding, some sort of a higher enlightenment to know that you can't do this by yourself. Together we got to put all of our pieces of the puzzle and we can make it happen. we can bring about true change on this world. We can bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And I've repeated this time and time again, not under some one world religion or some one world government, but under a one world idea and understanding that we all live in the same boat. And when this boat goes down, we all go down together. It's all hands on board. Some of us may be lucky enough to get into a life raft and figure out a way to survive an impending doomsday if it ever comes to pass. But in the meantime, you know, we can't wait. My good book says that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. With that said, I don't know when tomorrow doomsday is going to show up or not show up, or when the end time is going to be, but I do know that from now to then I got to live in this world, and I want to make it the best world I can and leave behind some positive influence for the future. That's what my friend Steve believed in whenever he was here with us, and he was running Awake Radio, and that's why he pushed so hard to do, you know, the things that he did to keep things rolling. And so he'll be truly missed, folks. You know, he was a good friend to me, and, you know, he might have been not such a good friend to others. It just kind of depends. We're all just people, you know. And nobody in this whole picture is perfect, but we all have one thing in common. We need each other, and we need each other badly. If we use the brilliance that we have at our disposal, the access to this internet is a vast research tool. If you use it properly, you can accomplish and learn a lot. I've learned so much from so many people out here on the internet. I've met so many friends through these networks that it's just mind-blowing. And, you know, there's folks that I would have otherwise never even known existed had it not been for these radio networks and programs like Skype or Facebook or YouTube or stuff like that. And I don't live my entire life on the internet. I mean, I can't do that. I got to get out there, and I got to live in the real world, and I got to build things, and I got to create, because that's the way that I was designed. I love to study. I love to work. I love to do things. I like to help people out. And that's what I'm trying to point out to you guys. You know, you get out there, you work with your local communities and your families and your friends, and you live life. Live life and love and learn. That's about the best way that I can say it. You know, I'm going to keep ShazizRadio.com as long as I'm able. I'm going to keep it rolling, and I'm going to keep try to help keep Awake Radio alive as well, and all these other networks. I'm going to try to pull us all together, and I'm going to try to get everybody to the table. That's what I'm going to do. It's the best I got to offer with the circumstances I find myself in, but I'm not willing to lay down and give up to all the woes of the world. I'm not willing to say it's over until the fat lady sings, and so far I've not heard the fat lady singing. It's not over yet. And we still have a chance to turn this world around and put clean, renewable energy out there to those who want it, to put food in the bellies of the hungry and roofs over the homeless, and make this world a better place. That's what this is all about. And so with that said, I got another brilliant individual who joined me in. Thomas, he's been around for quite some time. And he's brought a lot of brilliance to the table. He's got his share of research that matches with Muddy's research and Raymond's research and all the other guys that you hear out here talking on the Mad Science Show. As far as I'm concerned, he's a wonderful friend and a wonderful soul. And, you know, it's always an honor to have any of these guys that take the time out of their life to come on these radio shows and share what they've learned and research that they're working on with the world. That's how it's done, folks. It's like Thomas said, you got to network, you got to get out there, and you got to do it. Otherwise, it don't get done. So how you doing there, brother? You awake yet? Got that sleep out of your eye?
Not quite.
Well, he's good.
It's fighting.
Boost your coffee level up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think at this point it's sleep. I think it's allergies.
Oh. So. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a solution out there. There's some natural remedies, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say. some of that. You talk about doing a piece of the puzzle. I'm working on something that requires being able to coat things with bismuth, so I'm making powdered bismuth. So if there's people out there that are doing something, they might need to need powdered bismuth or powdered bismuth that they can melt over the surface of something else. Just need to get on there and give a shout. So
yeah, and there's another thing there too, folks. If there's a project out here like what he's talking about, you know, a lot of the research and we do, it takes funding, you know, because not all of us are equipped with a fat wallet, so to speak, and not asking anybody directly any for any kind of donations. But if you find a researcher out there that you really you're interested in their work and you want to help them speed that deal up, if you can get with them personally and help them out, you know, hey, that's a good thing. You know, sharing your resources with one another and making things happen, you know. Or even if it's a simple case of, you know, you give them a platform to sell a product that, you know, works, that you can help them to raise the funds to further their research. When I think about all the money wasted out there in our governments that, you know, the study of insects, some mating of worms or something like that, some weird million or billion dollar government research project that, you know, it's not going to benefit the world.
How to better untangle fishing line.
Yeah, there you go. Well, when I think about all the money wasted by the government that could have been gone to real research, you know, hey, you know, if I've got a research project and you say, well, what do you need to get it done? And I tell you, I could use this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment. I'm more than sure that somewhere in some government warehouse, there's an oscilloscope waiting for me. You know, I could use an oscilloscope. So if anybody out there's got an old broken down oscilloscope that they don't use anymore, that could maybe be repaired or something like that, and want to post it over, I could use one of those. And, you know, there's other folks out there that could use things or might need something I have, and I'd be willing to send that, you know, if they need it. I've got probably about 300 different vacuum tubes for old radios and stuff, you know. Some of them vacuum tubes could, what happened was I had a friend who passed away, unfortunately, but they was going to throw away, he had a TV repair shop, and they were going to throw away all this stuff because they didn't know what to do with it. Well, my friend, he said, well, if you don't mind, I got a friend who's into alternative energy research that would probably love to have this stuff. If you don't mind, I'll take it over and give it to him. And so he did. He loaded up his truck and one day showed up at my house and gave me pretty much an entire TV repair deal, minus an oscilloscope, but I have all kinds of different older equipment and measuring equipment that I never had before that had benefited my research. So, you know, if you're going to throw it away anyway, send it to somebody who could use it, somebody who's going to try to do a little bit of, you know, research to see what, you know, what else we can accomplish. So what do you think about that, Thomas?
Yeah. I think if you're working on something and you have to do something too, though, that for what you're doing, you might as well go ahead and see if you can make some extra. And if you got the money to give it away, that's fine. But if you don't, you know, just put a price tag on it to recoup whatever you had to invest into it. And that way, you kind of split the difference instead of somebody having to spend all the money that you had to spend just to get the little bit they need. They can instead kind of pitch in and end up paying for a part of whatever you had to pay just to get in there. You know, like, say you need a half an ounce of something, and, you know, the smallest increment they sell is like a pound of the stuff, then, you know, if you got like 10 or 15 people that just need a half ounce or an ounce of this stuff, you go ahead and, you know, split the price of what that pound was and kind of, you know, spread it out. That way everybody gets the piece they need without having to go and, you know, buy a lump sum and then have the rest of it just sitting around, nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, they're done with their project, they don't need the rest of it or something.
And if you have a product that you make, or, you know, here's an example. You know, I learned about the Slayer Exciter circuit, and I didn't really have time to try to sit there and try to troubleshoot this out to make sure I got it working right. But I knew somebody who already had it down pat, and I wanted to do some testing with that particular deal. So I paid them for their time and money to basically build one for me. And so, you know, it was worth it to me because I got a fully intact working Slayer Exciter that I used for testing and actually did a couple videos on. So I put over here on shazizradio.com/superchat.html. If you look right underneath the super chat portion of the room, there's a Mad Scientist store. And I put this platform together so that if there were individuals out there who could build things like Slayer Exciters or materials that would be good for research, that they would have a free place to post, you know, and none of the money comes to shazizradio.com. It would go directly to the person. That they would give me a code for their link to their PayPal or whatever that they needed, wherever their store link was. And so when people wanted to buy something that they had, they would deal directly with the individual who's selling the product. So, you know, the offer stands. You got a free place to advertise your product, and I'll put the page up on there for you, the links and the pictures and your description of what it is you're trying to sell. It's just as simple as this, folks. All you got to do is use this platform. You know, it belongs to the people. It's not, you know, this never has been about one person or one radio station. We want to try to get everybody together, networking with each other. You know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of circuits out there. If there's an electronics whiz out there, there's a lot of circuits that I would love to buy from somebody if they, you know, wanted to take the time to, you know, work, put them together, you know, and compensate them for their time and their resource and all that, you know. I'm looking for a circuit right now, a decent pulsar circuit to pulse coils. All I want is either a transistor or a MOSFET style deal that'll work off of anywhere from 9 to 12 volts DC that will just do nothing more than pulse a coil. That's it. That's all I want it to do, is just basically tap the power on and off and maybe a potentiometer to speed it up or slow it down. And I know those circuits exist out there, but, you know, my soldering skills, if you've seen some of my videos, leaves a little bit to be desired, you know, because I haven't got the steady hands. I get, like, a ton of solder where there should only be, like, a tiny drop or whatever. But, you know, if somebody could make those circuits, you know, even mass produce them, there's people out there that would buy these circuits from you just so that they would have them, you know. And all I'm talking about is simple circuits. And there's an electrician guy out there somewhere, electronics whiz, that could slap these things together and actually maybe even get to the point where they could earn a living, you know, just trying to help the alternative energy science guys out there with things that they needed to make things happen. You know, there's those generators that I talked about, those direct drive motors, there's a circuit board out there that is pulse DC circuit that actually tells the thing to turn on and off, and it has Hall effect sensors that times it all out so that that electric motor runs. Well, a cheaper, more efficient version of that is a marketable device. You know, if you have something that you could actually design, you using these transistors, resistors, and diodes and MOSFETs or whatever to pulse these same circuits, making pulse motors. There's a lot of people in Bedini research, and you know, these are the kind of things we need to be able to test certain concepts, you know, like magnetic fields collapsing and expanding. So, you know, if you can build those kind of things and you want to make a few dollars and you need a place to advertise it, just get in contact with me and I'll put it in the Mad Science store with all your links and everything like that. This is how we can get things done. What do you think, Thomas?
I've actually got my web page making software open. I'm going to go ahead and put an alternative research materials that happen to be, you know, on hand type of thing into my web page. And I'll give you a link to that page. it's just going to be stuff that whatever I'm working on at the time, when I have excess of it, I'm going to set it aside and put a small price tag on it. Some of it, you know, I mean, if I run across somebody that's really needing some help, they've come a long ways, but they run short of funds, I'm not going to demand that they dump the money on me. But if they can put money back into it, then that'll help make sure that there's more materials and more resources, that if there is somebody else that needs the help and can't afford to pay for it, then I can help them out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Also with the, I'm going to go ahead and click on this link right here. Also with the Shaziz Mad Science Store, there's also another link there that is for, one of them's the Let's Go Shopping link. That's where you can go out and buy products from people. And there's also a free product section. So if you got anything that you want to donate to other researchers, you can actually post it on this right here and be able to, you know, somebody that can't afford it, you can donate parts or whatever for their research. And basically, it's a free shop. You go there, you find something you need. It's not for the greedy to go in there and tell everybody, hey, I need all this junk, you know. You know what I'm saying? Responsibility kind of thing. Only take what you need kind of deal. So, but that is available there. And there's also a little form submission where you can actually let us know how we can help you. Basically, the whole section is buy, sell, trade, or barter, or simply donate to your favorite researchers. Charity and contest events, links and more, how-to videos, shows, podcasts, community links, Skype your favorite researcher one-on-one, and much, much more. That's what that store's supposed to be about. So I hope people take advantage of that and use it, and let's just get things done. It's as simple as that. Got any thoughts?
Do other stuff too that helps. If I get sales on that stuff, it helps my research. Like, I make leather masks and whatnot, and that's not to say people should go out of their way and buy something they don't need to try to support me, but if you find that there's somebody doing something, you know they're doing research, and you should probably just kind of keep them in mind. Like, let's say you know you got that friend that you can't figure out what in the heck to get for him, go through that list of stuff those people that you know make, just, you know, pick something up from them instead of going down to Walmart and picking up a card, and, you know, going to the mall and picking up something from China that some specialty store is trying to, you know, trying to pass on as being some great deal or something, you know.
Will you get Shop me locally. That link? You get me that link and I will post you something decent there before you can actually get in contact. Stephen Gibbons posted an eBay link. I don't know what it is to just yet. Let me click on it and see.
Oh, don't click on the links in Skype without looking first.
Oh, this ain't Skype. This is
Super Chat.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. Brother, that was a nightmare. He just posted.
Yeah, if you ain't talking to him.
He just posted an NE555 pulse frequency adjustable module square wave signal generator. It might be the answer to my deal there.
Here's the question though: what's the high end frequency of that 555 timer chip, and is it in the socket or is it soldered in place? Because there are a multitude of different 555 timers out there. If you look, they range all the way from their top end being 500 kilohertz all the way up to 500 megahertz.
Well, I don't know, but I'm bookmarking this one because it's a start, and that's brilliant. It's already, I think it's soldered together already. Might be a kit. But the price is right.
Well, even a kit, if they tell you where everything's supposed to go and how it's supposed to be set up to get to an end result, it shouldn't be too hard to assemble it. So...
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to read the description here.
It's somewhere around here. I have an FM stereo transmitter that I put together before I even knew much about electronics, and because I was just, you know, following their steps, it went together like a breeze.
This says it's an NE555 pulse frequency adjustable module square wave signal generator stepper motor driver. So you can run stepper motors with it.
Oh.
And it goes from 10K to 2 kilohertz, 1K to 10 kilohertz, or 50 hertz to 1 kilohertz, or 1 hertz to 50 hertz. So this, it's got several different ranges it can operate at, according to this. And the question that you asked, it looks like it's snapped in.
Okay.
So that link is posted in the Super Chat room. See, that's what I'm talking about, folks. I didn't even know this existed, but now that I do, I'm going to have to go out there and purchase a bunch of these so that I can do some research that I want to do. And it even shows you right there where to put your power in and the power out and all that kind of stuff. So it's brilliant. Thanks a lot, Stephen. I really appreciate that. But you come across stuff like that, and you post those links over here on ShazizRadio.com, we can pass that information on via the radio show, or, you know, basically posting it on the website, which I'm gonna, later on I'm going to try to copy that link, and I'm going to post a link to it, hopefully that people will be able to find it if they need it. But all these things on ShazizRadio.com, the information that came from other researchers and stuff, it's just about, I want to find those YouTube channels out there that are small, that need to be heard, that are doing brilliant research. I want to bring them to the table. I want them to be able to get more views on their videos and stuff, because it's pieces of the puzzle, people. It's as simple as that. And we need to find all the pieces of the puzzle, put them together, build the devices that everybody says that they need for the world to solve the so-called energy crisis, and just make this world a better place. Just get it done. You know, what more can you ask? You know, if the world is in as poor a shape as everybody likes to say, then I think now would be the best time to get things done, you know? Fix it before it's broken. That kind of thing, man.
Yeah, for sure. So.
So anyway, it's brilliant. I think I need to take me a nature / coffee break / music break, and come back and polish off the last hour of the Mad Science Show. How's that sound to you, Thomas?
Sounds good to me.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Throw on a couple tunes for you.
And time keeps on slipping, man.
Okay, well, now I got to find that one. That's going to be the first one. Let me see. Do-do-do-do. I got to find it here. I know it's in there. Do-do-do-do-do. Ha-ha, found it. All right. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. All right, that's going to be the first tune because of Thomas. All right, so everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. trip. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science, another brilliant link that Stephen Gibbons posted in the chat room is HTTPS, basically www.freecycle.org, and essentially it's a site out there that I just bookmarked because basically people got stuff that they want to get rid of and they're willing to give it away to whoever needs it. And he posted a link in there, don't know if it's still available, but it'd be interesting if it was, that guy says, I have an old oscilloscope up for grabs, it's old but still working. And so, there you go, man. This is what I'm talking about. There are links and possibilities out there, and these kind of research capabilities were... You know, I said I needed a couple things, and bam, right out of the gate, he throws some really good links out there. You know, that's how we get things done. So, what do you think there, Thomas?
I think we need to get on it, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of the times, if you ain't got the right tool, it's kind of hard to get things done. You know, there's... amazing technology out there. If we actually had access to the right crew and the right materials and machines, there ain't nothing we can't build. You know, the big corporations out there, they got a lot of funds to build a lot of stuff. But, you know, until we get to a position where we, the average Joe, have access to that kind of... that kind of equipment, you know, I can build a few things in my shop. I got a drill press and a skill saw and a jigsaw and a little 110 wire welder. And so if those tools would be useful to you at any time and you need to borrow them or whatever, you know, we could figure something out. I could weld something up for you or drill something. But there's something to be said about a precision machine shop or milling equipment or a 3D printer and that kind of stuff. If you have access to that kind of equipment in the right lab, you know, there's a group out there called the Geek Group where they pretty much put together a research facility, you know, kind of like what I'm talking about. But there needs to be a whole lot of geek groups. There needs to be a whole lot of research facilities all over the place. Somewhere in this world is a building that's not being used right now. Big old open space where you could actually build some sort of shop. And, you know, one person by themselves might not be able to afford it, but maybe you all get together and network and you can all afford to rent a space. And, you know, if it's just a few pennies out of your pocket a month per individual, you got enough people there, then you could ease the burden and everybody have a place to go work. What you think about that?
Sounds like a good idea. So,
well,
that's what I was been what I've been talking about doing is not just a building, but like one in every community. You know, anywhere we can find a spot where people can come together, set something up, charge a small fee, like $5 or $10 a day, to come and use the facility. And if people use it enough, it'll end up paying for itself, so that, you know, it doesn't have to. Somebody doesn't have to keep forking money out of their pocket to keep it going. The more alternative research goes into it, maybe you can get it up off of the grid and have most of the energy being supplied locally, so that way it lowers its cost, you know. So, if we can maybe put together some sort of 501(c) organization or something, so that you don't have to pay the taxes on land or anything like that, and it's an owned piece of property, then that would help too, you know.
Yeah.
That way, costs can just keep being lowered more and more. I mean, that's one of my little dreams, is to have a place where I've got a couple large buildings that have different types of research capabilities you know, and set up specifically for that particular research, and then having an area where basically people who are, you get a vacation, instead of going to the Caribbean or going for a cruise out in the ocean or Hawaii or something, you could just hop on down there and there'd be like a small place to stay and still be like, you know, $10 a day, but you're getting access to research facility and you've got a you know, an actual little apartment to stay in while you're there, you know. So maybe an extra space out on the side where basically if you've got to bring the family, the kids,
hey, can
go mess about and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to download a song that my other friend Steve posted. He posted it on the wrong computer. I got to do this the other way, where I go through the YouTube downloader. So anyway, that's what I'm trying to work on.
Right.
Kind of distracted at the moment. Anyway, yeah, that's the way we got to get things done, man. I get this song downloaded here and get my brain back to working. Oh, doggone it. I did it again. I copied the link and then I copied the wrong link over the top of the other link.
Great. Just wish I had double checked the other.
Great. Now that's going out over live. Stop. Oh, this is terrible for live radio, man. Alright, Control C. That's how you copy. And then you go back to where you was to begin with on the YouTube MP3 downloader. Anyway, you're listening to Mad Science. See, here on Mad Science, we're liable to do all kinds of crazy stuff live, such as trying to get to a song to, I hope this is the right version, too. I just click download. Anyway, while that's downloading, which should be pretty right shortly, showing folder, we got all the answers, man, to everything we need to do. It's just a matter of bringing these people to the table, the people with all the pieces of the puzzle. I'm sitting here and I'm waving my piece of the puzzle out to the world and hoping that people take it and run with it, you know? And all these anomalies that I keep talking about as far as, you know, alternative energy goes, the things that we've learned, the basic laws of physics and stuff. Can you add Steve to the call?
Yeah.
Alright. Okay, so basically what I was saying is all these anomalies that we've researched, you know, by themselves, you know, they're not going to run your house, but together using conjunction, we can actually build devices that could run your house. So, you know, with that said, don't overlook the small things that you think aren't really important as far as alternative energy goes. Look out there and see what people are doing and see what types of research they're into, because it might very well have something to do with the research. You think it's shorten the path to getting resolved what you're trying to resolve. So how you doing there, Steve?
Not too bad, mate. I just heard about Steve myself, Scottish Steve.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to drag things back up, but I wanted to point out that Steve was the guy that brought me into all of this.
Yeah,
Way back in the day on TNS Radio, he was the guy that invited me on his show. And we didn't always see eye to eye, but I just wanted to, you know, let people know that I have the greatest respect for him. Might not have always shown it, but it doesn't mean to say that I don't have it.
Well, I understand what you're saying, brother. The three of us, you, me, and Steve, we all come back from pretty much the same direction. And, you know, when TNS splintered off into two different networks, hey, you know, we kept the ball rolling. And the third network come up out of the deal as well as ShazizRadio.com. You know, we didn't always get along with each other. We didn't always agree. And, you know, we had our own, we're only human, man. But the whole underlying reason for what we were doing, trying to make the world a better place and finding solutions to problems, we all believed in that dream. And that's, you know, what we still do to this very day. And I believe that Steve did a lot of good things for a lot of people out there. You know, maybe some folks weren't so happy about certain things or not. You know, I don't know. All I can say is that for me personally, he was a really good friend, and he was always there for me, kind of like you behind the scenes. And Thomas, you know, sometimes I'd come on there and I was feeling down, and I'd talk to the other Steve or you or Thomas, and, you know, I'd be back up again. You know, it was that friendship and the networking that we did that kept me motivated to the present day. What do you think?
Even back in the days of TNS, Steve wasn't well. But he put himself out there and did what he could in the time he had.
Yeah, he did. And I respect all the stuff that he did, you know, trying to hold these networks together, you know. It's a lot harder than you think to keep people, you know, motivated forward and staying together to do something to make a cause happen, you know. It's just human nature. Sometimes people feel like they weren't respected enough, or maybe they just didn't agree on certain things, and instead of moving along and not fighting amongst each other, they got upset and went their own ways. There was a lot of that I seen throughout all these different networks, and the one thing that stands true is that you know, divided we stand, united we fall, you know, or united we stand and divided we fall. That's what I meant. Boy, I blew that one out of the water, didn't I?
Not necessarily. Have you seen the Occupy movement, where they will sit and chant the same thing as though they haven't got a brain amongst them? Being united is not necessarily a good thing, but I just wanted to say that the people that knew Steve, that I didn't know him very well, but he introduced me to this whole thing, and for that I will be eternally grateful. And I sent you a song there that maybe you could play as a little tribute to Steve.
Yeah, I got because it. It's in the playlist right now. Whenever you're ready, I'll play it for him.
Well, I'm sorry to kind of break in and interrupt it, but I was supposed to be doing something else tonight. My good lady wife has pre-booked me for something else. But I cut it short because I wanted to pay my respects to Steve.
Well, and it's appreciated. So far, he's getting a couple music requests, and I played him a couple tunes. So, everybody, this is from the other Steve, another really good friend of mine. I just, you know, you never know, folks. You really seriously never know when the last time you're going to be able to say some decent words to somebody. So that's why I always say that when you meet somebody, whether it's ongoing, you've known them for a long time, you meet them, always leave them with a message in their minds and hearts that you want that to be your last words, because you never know. I didn't get to say my message to Steve before I found out he was gone. I was too late. But he knew whenever he was here with us that he was loved, and he knew that we were friends, and that's what makes all the difference in the world. You know, you can't bring back the past, but you can definitely use that knowledge to treat your friends the best you can towards the future, if you know what I'm trying to say here.
So, well, Shazish, you don't always have to agree with somebody to respect them.
Yep. All right, so I'm going to play...
I kind of feel like I let Steve down a little bit, so perhaps this is some way of showing me respect.
All right, so here's a here's a song. Dougie McLean is at Caledonia?
Caledonia.
Okay, this is a request from Steve to Steve.
I don't know if you can see the changes that have come over me in these last few days. I've been afraid that I might drift away. So I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. That's the reasons why I seem so far away today. Oh, and let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Oh, and I have moved and I've kept on moving. I proved the points that I needed proving. Lost the friends that I needed losing. Found others on the way. On trying, I've stolen dreams, yes, there's no denying. I have traveled hard, with conscience flying, somewhere with the wind. Oh, well, let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever sitting here before the fire, the empty room, the forest choir, the flames that couldn't get any higher. Well, they're withered now, they've gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear, and I know what I will do tomorrow. When the hands are shaken and the kisses flow, well, I will disappear. Oh, and let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. But if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Everything I've ever had.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Can you hear me? Give my creation life!
All right, everybody, you're listening to the Mad Science Show. We got Steve on here and Thomas on here. And Steve, that was a really nice song that you played there for Granada Steve.
Well, Steve, Granada Steve, wherever you are now, I hope you're in a better place. And thank you for introducing me to the whole independent radio network, because you brought me into this, and I will forever be grateful, even if I wasn't as grateful as I should have been.
Yes.
Thank you, mate.
That's wonderful, man. And look, you know, that's how we've all affected each other throughout this entire deal. You know, we've met a lot of friends that we otherwise wouldn't have met, and we've put a lot of information out. We had fun shows, we had sad shows, we had shows where we were busy trying to save the world. But you know what? We all did it together. We took those journeys, good and bad, together. And you know, what more can you ask? ShazizRadio.com is not just a website. It's a platform for people to speak, and I'm hoping that people will use it and try to make the world a better place. There's so many other networks out there, which I also posted links to other radio networks on my website, because if you can't find what you need here, I want you to go somewhere where you can, and you know, that's how we get things done. So, moving right along, you asked me what we were talking about before you showed up, and pretty much we were talking about alternative energies and networks that I personally believe we got every single piece of the puzzle to literally build the clean renewable energy that everybody wants. My same thing that I've been saying forever and a day is that, you know, it's going to take bringing brilliant minds to the table. There's so many people out there that have so much awesome research that, you know, just small example, which is a large example for me, is the things that I've asked for that I was needing on this radio show. Stephen Gibbons already posted multiple links inside there that showed me where I can get it and what kind of price tags are on, and some even for free or whatever, you know. And that's... Man, how much more of a valuable tool can you get than that? You know, the research capabilities, there's somebody out there who has tools that I don't have, and I have tools that they don't have. Bring these doggone tools together, and let's build things. And one thing I can say about myself is I love to build things, I love to create, but my manufacturing skills, they sometimes leave a bit to be desired, such as my cooking skills. You know, you wouldn't want to eat my food if I cooked it. So
that's what I'm here for, mate.
Yeah, there you go. So Steve's going to cook us a meal made for a king, while we all out there building alternative energy devices. And you know, there's somebody in here that can sing. How about you, Thomas? Can you sing?
Yeah.
That didn't sound very reassuring.
Did you need caterwauling?
Well, Shaziz, Tom is the resident genius.
Yeah, well,
you're the resident mad scientist, and I'm the mate.
All right, cool. The what? Did you say mate or mate?
Mate.
No.
I'm not mating with you. You're too airy.
No. Yeah. No. You're the chef, man. All right, and
same thing.
And he's the chemist, and I'm the mad science guy. And you put all these other people like Muddy in there, and Raymond, and all the other guys that's come on this show.
Steve, you said it's the same thing. Do you do windows?
No, I'm a VMS guy.
Then you're not a maid.
Well, the fastest way to do windows is with a brick. Seriously. Like,
well, it depends on whether you're shopping or window shopping, mate.
Well, that could get you thrown off in the hoosegow, but basically I'm saying if you want to clean your window, you throw a brick through it.
When you get done throwing a brick through it to go shopping, you make sure you drop some off for Shaziz on his lawn.
No, stay off my lawn. Yeah.
Shaziz has guns. Don't be trespassing.
There's a doggone thief out there that decided that he was going to go out and steal something, and then the trailer that he stole with the air compressor on it got flat tires. And so what did he do? He not only left the stolen merchandise in my driveway, but drove across my lawn to get away, making a mess. So stay off my lawn.
If you're going to steal something, do it quietly, do it cleanly.
Yeah. They're supposed to not steal anyway. So,
which is this?
Yeah.
The mad science community, in my perspective, needs a Satoshi Nakamoto. Some guy that sat down, worked out a principle, and just gave it away.
Well, maybe I can be the Satoshi Nakamoto. Whatever. Nakamoto or what?
Nakamojo?
Yeah. I've knocked my mojo a few times, man. I'm 6'2", so if you ain't watching it, you'll walk through the wrong door frame and land on the floor. Alright, so anyway, there's all kinds of technology out there. There's all kinds of people researching the technology. There's old technology, existing technology, new technology. It's 2016, and it's time to get things done. So bring the people to the table. If you got a social media network out there, or a platform, or a chat room that you frequent a lot, throw some links to Wake Radio, or Shaziz Radio, or People to People Radio, or Shake and Wake Radio, or any of the other networks out there. Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio. Throw them out there. If you like what they're talking about on their shows and you want to share their content, that's how you support them. Support your local researcher by visiting their YouTube channels and thumbing up their videos or saying hi and basically just communicating, man. It's that interaction that's important, you know. That's how we're going to get things accomplished. What do you guys think?
There's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's a lot of people with a lot of different solutions.
Man, what has that cat done? That's like firing at will. What did Will do?
Yeah.
I have nothing against cats.
Yeah, no animals were hurt in the process of this broadcast.
But as a turn of phrase, there's many different ways that you can seek solutions.
Accomplish a goal.
But if you find those solutions, are you going to patent it, bury it, and take a large chunk of money and disappear? Or are you going to share it with the rest of us? Because I don't have the answers.
If you patent it, you can't exactly bury it, because then it's actually, that's kind of the flaw that people seem to think that they have, that about the patent system, is that if you put it up there, it's going to show up online, how you did it. There's nothing wrong with you using something for personal use that's on a patent system. You just can't sell it.
Well,
I see a lot of fear in people, actually, Tom, because I spoke to a guy the other day that was saying, oh, well, you can't make anything off a patent because you get arrested. And I said, actually, patents are for commercial use, not for private. Exactly. If you have the intellect, the ability, and the creative capacity take a patent design and recreate it yourself, and you're not attempting to use it as a commercial instrument, nobody can stop you at all.
Yeah, and in the process of you recreating it, you might actually find a minor flaw in the system that you can make an improvement and share that with the world. Look, hey, you can improve this just by doing this right here, you know.
Tom, you've looked at the patent system quite a bit, haven't you? How much do you have to change your patent for it to be a new thing?
That I'm not sure. And at that point, it's not, it's never a new thing. It's a derivative off of an old patent. So you, if there's any part of that patent being used for your product, they will have to pay for the right to use that that patent and yours.
Well, there's always an issue when it comes down to doing the corporate structure out there in the marketplace. So my deal is that, you know, if you know how to build a generator, just build one for you. And if you can build one for your friend or your neighbor, you know, just help them out. See, the whole thing about energy, alternative energy, is so incredibly simple in my mind. If you paying a really high electrical bill, and you can supplement that electrical bill in any form or fashion with existing technologies such as solar out there, you know, that money that you save taking one light off the grid every month, you can reinvest in doing another light bulb the next month, and then every month thereafter, your light bill will decrease, and it'll finally get to a more manageable price range where you can afford to, you know, do extra things. So where there's a will, there's a way. There's hydrogen technology out there that there's many different ways to use hydrogen. You can actually generate electricity from the separation and recombination of the hydrogen and oxygen atoms. It releases a charge. And there's, you know, burning it as fuel and many more potentials that hydrogen has capabilities. That's proven science. Alright, well,
which is this, I've proven without a shadow of a doubt that you can produce hydrogen with a motorcycle battery and cut up Carlsberg beer cans. You can't produce very much of it, but it's what do they call it, it's scales of economy. So maybe you have to drink 50 cans of beer to make a system big enough to actually be useful.
Well, hey, but at least you repurposed and recycled. I mean, like those can heaters that they put together, they actually make, people make window units where it's like a square box that sits outside and tilts towards the sun, and it uses old cans like, you know, canned goods or pork and bean or whatever cans that you get food in, and you cut the tops and the bottoms out and put them all inside there and paint them all black, and then as the heat absorbs through the glass of the box, it transfers that heat inside your house, and it doesn't use any electricity at all. It just uses the sun when it's out, and even during the winter time when it's not, you know, cloudy, overcast, or, you know, really bad outside, then the sun's going to be out, and so even that little bit of heat will help to sustain your power usage, you know, offset it a bit to make you a few extra dollars, so to speak, or save you a few extra dollars. So,
well, there's a guy up in Canada that has a company called CanSolaire, and he builds these units for people using kind of much better quality materials than we'd likely to be using ourselves. And they heat homes in Canada in winter.
Yeah. Well, these things could be scaled way up, and you could heat an entire two-story house with these things, man.
Well, I mean, Santa doesn't have to go very far south to deliver his presents when he's in Canada, does he?
No. Another thing
is, it's kind of cold up there.
But
it works.
A brilliant concept that I saw one time, and there is a way that you can actually, if you got access to a little piece of land and a 30-foot culvert pipe, you can bury this culvert pipe like 6 feet under the ground, and what that does is it sucks hot air in from the outside and pulls it down in that cool air and basically condenses into moisture. And then on the other side, you have that fed into your house with a filtration system, and you got air conditioning for free. You know, all you got to do is run the whatever fan you use to circulate. You don't even really need a fan because the difference in the heat and the difference in the temperatures will actually cause a draft, so it'll actually blow by itself. And this concept was used by a doctor up in Jefferson City, Missouri, where he literally took a... No, I think it's Warrensburg. Anyway, it's either Warrensburg or Jefferson City, but he took a built a castle over the top of a cave. And as the wind is blowing at the side of that hill, that wind goes through that cave up into the top of his castle, and then that air, the cool air, falls back down, and during the summertime, the hottest portion of summer, you can walk through that castle, and it's cool as if it had central air system going on. You know, and it's brilliant.
Chaziz,
yeah.
I bought my house in Ireland. It was bought off of plan. So basically, the house wasn't finished when I started the contract details. And I had a 900-litre kerosene tank for my heating system in the back garden. Big green monstrosity, full of flammable material. And a guy across the road had a geothermal heating system, which puts rods deep in the ground, which is basically a heat exchange system. And he was using electricity to cool and heat his home, whereas we were using a fuel that we needed to order in that was eventually going to run out.
Yeah.
He could run his geothermal heating system off of a generator. So if the power did fail, he could potentially use hydrogen to run the generator with.
Well, if we had the perfect scenario working out with that geothermal, he could not only power that thing by the heat, but get all the other benefits. He could actually generate electricity to run pumps to circulate the water through that geothermal plumbing. There's many different ways to use it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, this was back in 2003, and I thought the guy had lost the plot. I thought he was one of these kind of... I didn't understand a lot of stuff at that stage. But I tell you what, I learned pretty quickly after I was spending the best part of $1,500 to heat my house for 2 months over winter.
Well, the deeper you go into the Earth, if you go by the standard model of how the Earth is designed, there's a molten metal core, and so it gets hotter the closer you get towards that core. It gets hotter, and that heat can be used to transfer energy up to the surface to warm your house and run electricity. So
you said that by that model of the Earth, just remember there are supporters for the flat Earth theory all around the globe.
Well, yeah, there's flat Earth, round Earth, concave Earth, hollow Earth, and I guess if it is hollow, you might drill a hole into somebody's ceiling down there, and they might not be too happy about it. But
Steve, did you hear that jet fly overhead?
Stephen Gibbons posted a video in there. How I made. Well, I'll catch up with you guys here in a second. Stephen Gibbons posted a video in there, how I made a solar pop can furnace heater. He's got a video in there posted in the Shaziz Radio chat room. Now, you guys shot over the top of my head for what?
Tom, I live on the flight path to a military airbase. I get everything from a Mirage jet to a C-20. Flying less than 200 feet above the top of my apartment. Believe me.
So you got lots of stuff flying over your head.
We wave to the pilots, but they're really rude. They never wave back.
All right.
Just don't wave at them with a green laser pointer.
Yeah.
No, they don't like that very much.
don't look into the laser light with the remaining eye. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go, folks. Common sense out there. You know, if you're going to protest, save the trees. Don't be waving a wooden stick with a paper sign saying save the trees. Get out there and plant a tree. That's as simple as that, man.
I was actually thinking of making an organ device and seeing how long it took them to pay me a visit.
The aliens?
Organ.
Organ?
You know,
like orgone energy or something like
yeah.
that. Pyramids with the crystals or whatever in them.
Well,
it's basically a type of alum gel with copper and silver and all sorts of other stuff in it. But I've seen that work with my own eyes with devices that people have created. And no doubt that it works.
Well, there's so much more to this world than meets the eye. I don't discount anything. All right? But as far as the alternative energy community goes, everybody out there, they want to see something that is a working, provable device. And I'm saying, if you got it, put it out there and let everybody check it out, man. Because I, you know, that's the only way it's ever going to get done. You know?
So you don't discount reactors. They tell people who can't get it to work that they didn't love it right.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous if you ask me. You know, you got to balance out your common sense with a little bit of...
They'll say there is such a thing as positive attitude, but that sounds like it's taking it too far.
Yeah, if you're a jerk, you don't get no free electricity, according to Cashy.
Well, in fairness, Tom, we all need a little bit of loving, don't we?
Oh, jeez.
Boy, this just went awry.
Why can't we just all get along?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Ruckus, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a ruckus.
Yeah, what was that ruckus? Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
I think I'm in the same boat with you there, Tom. I mean, if I have to think, if I have to give an energy generator a little cuddle every now and again, I'm not really interested.
Mm. Yep.
How fast was that ruckus going, meow?
Well, here's the thing, folks. You know, look, there's videos out there. Stephen Gibbons just pointed out a video of how to make a solar heater. You can build that up, scale it up, and heat your entire house using the sunlight. At least, very least, supplement whatever fuel you used or electricity to heat your house. And you can start saving some money right out of the gate. And most of this is things that you could do out of recycled materials, things you probably already have in your house or throw away on a daily basis. And so when you find how-to sites like these videos, subscribe to them. Show them some support, because you'd be surprised at how much that would motivate somebody to show you even more stuff, you know. And if you can heat your house...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Talking on solar heaters, there's kind of an ancient, well, not ancient, but there's a long history in Asia of tin craftsmen. And what they do, they make things like tin and aluminium baking trays to bake cakes in. And I went down to see a guy the other day, and I've asked him to make me a solar oven. And I kind of sat there for a couple of hours, and he spoke Mandarin and I spoke English, so it was kind of awkward. But I think I got across him the idea that what I need is a tin box or an aluminium box, because they shape all this by hand. And these guys are really, really skilled at what they do. With perforated undersides so the air can flow through it, with an enclosed area above it where I can put a chicken in and roast it, using natural sunlight and nothing else.
Well,
and he kind of, first of all, we thought I was a lunatic. And then he kind of got into the idea of it. And this guy is about 70 and he's been doing it since it was 12.
Cool.
And he wants to come and share the chicken with me when I cook it.
Well, a prime example of what you're talking about is a simple concept of not leaving your dog or your kid in a car during the summertime, because it gets several hundred degrees inside there when it's closed up. So we know that there's energy right there. You can bake a cake in your car during the summertime.
I've fried eggs on the front of a tractor in Holland.
Well, my uncle used to drive around with a coffee pot strapped to the manifold of his car. Is that crazy?
Yeah, no, he's actually kind of crazy.
But he had hot coffee throughout his entire journey. Anyway, Stephen Gibbons also posted a link in there about orgone energy, in case folks didn't understand what you was talking about when you're talking about orgone. He said, orgone energy is hypothetical universe life force originally proposed in the 1930s by William Reich.
I've seen some pretty large orgone devices used, and there ain't been a cloud in the sky. So if they're claiming that in a country where it rains 366 days in a leap year, that these don't work, there was not a cloud in that area. There were clouds everywhere else, but there was no clouds above where they had this device pointed. So I kind of believe that they work.
Well, at some point
now,
in time...
Now, somebody else wants to debate that, go and make one and find out for yourself.
Yeah, try it before you deny it. At some point in history, I feel like that we probably had all kinds of technology that was lost and forgotten. You know, I talk about the Mercury arc rectifier all the time, and it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but the doggone Mercury arc rectifier was in the late 1800s. It was when Tesla and Edison were fighting over the whole AC to DC current, and then once Tesla won out with AC current, they needed a way to rectify high voltage AC into high voltage DC to run the infrastructure that Edison already had in place, elevator motors and such. And so, essentially, the Mercury arc rectifier was the first plasma reactor that I know of that essentially took mercury and you shot the high voltage AC into a pool of mercury inside this container, and it would superheat the mercury into a gas. Well, the high voltage AC was continuing to come in, and it energized that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. Well, the plasma not only had heat, but it had pressure and would allow the energy to flow in one direction and one direction only. And so you basically had rectified DC current coming out, the high voltage rectified DC current coming out the other side that was capable of running them old elevators. So there you go, folks. And also there's a, Stephen just posted in a Wikipedia deal, more information on William Wright and his work and stuff. So, you know, I don't discount any of these technologies because I know they exist. There's all kinds of things out there that are lost and forgotten technologies that we could actually refer back to in order to build modern technology. Here we are in the year 2016. We've got nuclear reactors running antique boiler systems. So you got high-tech using something from the past, steam generation, and I feel like there's a whole lot better way to do it than to highly refine radioactive material that could somehow or another escape containment and start polluting the environment, you know?
Well, Shaziz, if all of these nuclear scientists are so smart, why do they keep building nuclear reactors on earthquake fault lines in places where two tsunamis are known to happen?
Well, that's a valid question. And, you know, you would think that safety concerns would be the utmost right there. But if they was to... there's many ways to boil water, all right? And essentially, if you're using something high-tech like, you know, highly refined radioactive rods to boil water... you know, that's number one. The process is pretty substantial to actually making them rods, and then number two is that when they get to the point where they don't boil as well as they should, then they're considered to be nuclear waste, where they go and set inside of a cooling pond for, you know, up to 10 years or so, and then they're buried under the ground. Even though, because they're still radioactive, they're still releasing energy. That energy could have been used a whole lot more efficiently than what it was to begin with if you were going to create it. You know, NASA supposedly sent a probe completely all the way out to Pluto, which is so far away that the sunlight is so weak that solar panels would be so inefficient that they would only light up a 2-watt Christmas light bulb. And they use thermal electrics in order to generate the power to transmit those pictures and information, all that data back towards to the Earth. So if that can be done there, then there shouldn't be no reason why we couldn't have done it here. Now, instead of having...
Well, in fairness, is this, the mad scientists of this world are not happy with polluting our planet. They want to pollute the solar system with radiation as well.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. What if... that doggone deal, what if there really is other life on other planets, and you drop pretty much the equivalence of radioactive waste in their backyard. You know, they're not going to be too pleased about that. Maybe they got some better technology than you do, and they'll come over and slap you upside the mug for doing it. Or worse.
Well, you know, they say that depleted uranium is the gift that keeps on giving for at least 30,000 years.
Well, then how can people sit there and in good honesty say that there's no such thing as free energy? Because as far as I'm concerned, if it'll last 30,000 years, that's free energy. You can't get more free energy than that, you know?
Well, isn't it nice that they gave 1,000 tons to Afghanistan and 350 tons of it to Iraq?
Well, if you're going to use it to make a bomb to threaten your neighbors, then I can see the technology wasn't worth putting out there to begin with. So, all I'm saying is that we got all the technologies available to us, have been available to us, to do it the right way instead of the wrong way. And if the governments of the world want to weaponize all the different alternative energy deals so that they can maintain their power structure and pocket, you know, full of cash, then something's wrong with the way that we're allowing this to happen. You know, there's a lot of technologies out there that get shelved because of financial purposes. You know, it's a matter of national security that you don't get off the power grid, because we need your tax money so we can go out there and fight wars with people. You know, it's ridiculous. So that's all I'm saying.
I mean, way back in the day, we looked at a lot of stuff. The Norwegians made underwater kites that would go up and down with the tides and have a pulley system that pulled against piezoelectric crystals to make electricity. You had the osmosis freshwater saltwater energy generator. I mean, it was a huge installation that only produced about half a megawatt, really. But it's taking steps in the right direction, that we're using the natural energy of the planet to try and find some way of enhancing the energy that it produces. And I'm sure somebody somewhere is going to come up with a great idea sooner or later that's going to stop us being put into this system where we're dependent on people we can't really trust, that we don't really like, that their only real interest is making sure that we stay where we are. And where a lot of people are in this world in this day and age is not a very nice place.
No. Especially when everybody feels like they got to be self-medicated, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or something, you know, in order to try to just cope with life in general, you know, that ought to be a red flag that things need to be fixed. And we got all the technology out there. I mean, somewhere on this planet, there is lightning going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and that can be captured. The atmospheric group's pulling 2,000 volts out of the air with a couple hundred foot towers and a wire stretched across. And so they're pulling energy right out of the air. It's no moving parts whatsoever. And they're charging up huge capacitor banks and coming out with 9,000 volts on the other side. And so that's just one of two ways. With the wind power, the solar power, the thermal vents all over the earth. You know, heck, man. Piezoelectrics put a system inside of a fault system every time the earth shakes a little bit, vibrates a little bit of electricity. It's pennies in the bucket, you know. There's all kinds of methods. But,
well, she says there was a couple of young engineers in the Philippines that have recently come up with a design for a lamp that will burn for 8 hours, or rather, an electrically operated lamp that will run for 8 hours, where you've got a USB charger on it that runs on salt water.
Well,
now, it's not new technology, but they've actually gone out there, they've created something, and they're marketing it.
Even at that one little deal right there, that one little example would supplement your lighting in your homes, you know. We talked about the folks that took the bottles and put them up through the roof of their house with clear liquid in there that would refract light in from outside. There's another way to light your house. You could literally pipe lighting into the basement of your house using that same concept. It's just like fiber optics, you know. So with that said, with a few modifications, every house out there could be 0 point. They're energy efficient houses, you know. and they'd be self-contained.
Yeah, but Shaziz, the real question is if you have a mad science lab, how large do you need to make that tube so you can have sharks with lasers on the head swimming about in it?
Yeah, probably pretty big, but it'd be cool looking.
Yeah.
Alright, guys. Well, that's pretty much it. We're down to it. So, you know, with that said, brilliant conversation as usual. Mad science in its finest. And once again, we want to send our love out to Steve and the family and all the radio hosts out there that spent time working with him, and all the folks out there that were benefiting from his works behind the scenes. We just want to thank him and put our love out there. You know, he'll be truly missed, you know, by his friends. And, you know, I think he did a lot of good in this world. And I believe that by us keeping the ball rolling, keeping the dream alive, we can honor him and all the other folks before him, and you know, just do the right thing. What do you guys think?
Rest in peace, Dave.
Yep.
Thanks, mate.
You got anything last, Thomas?
No, not really.
Alright,
well, you guys already talked it all out, man.
Alright, well, there's a whole lot been said, a whole lot more to come. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Anybody wants to join in, it's as simple as a Skype call. And Thomas will post some links, and I'll try to get some links set up for him that we can help raise some funds for his research. And hey, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to get things done one step at a time. And if we can network, pull a lot of people in on the process, we can get things done a lot faster. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Can you hear me? Give my creation! Blood!